I hope it saved all that. I hope you're writing it down this morning. Okay. But anyway, but here's the thing. The family, they're all enjoying each other's company. They're having the family bond that God intended. We're all having a good time. You go away. You don't deserve to be part of the family right now. You see, that's part of the emotional thing. Or the other thing is, my emotions have been hurt. And then, so here's what happens. This is, first of all, this is not only cruel and unbiblical, it will eventually be ineffective. Because emotionalism does not address the heart biblically. The heart is not trained to know and love God, but to respond to the fear of emotional pain. What do you mean? Well, if I mess up, then my mom might not love me anymore. I'm gonna hurt her feelings, and if I hurt her feelings, then we're gonna be strained emotionally, and I won't be, you know, she won't love me as much. And that's essentially what happens when we say things like that. It's like, you know, it really hurts me when you do. And then you start feeling like your child starts feeling like if I mess up here, my mom's not gonna like me as much. Or if I mess up, I can't be part of the family. I can't be a part of what's happening. And here's what happens. Eventually, what happens is they start being numb to it, and they don't care about being part of the family anymore. and it ends up hurting them in the end. Yeah. Then it's not a good idea. All right, next one. Punitive correction. Yes, ma'am?
There's a good example of that in the book called The Boy Called It. It was one of the first children who came out and spoke about an abusive mother. He was put out in the garage and separated from the rest of the family. And it kind of messed him up for life.
Yeah, it has damage. It will damage your children. And we, you know, our society is so against spanking that, and they call that physically abusive, where they get so, and it's not, by the way, if you do it properly, there is a physical abuse, but I would contend that the abuse is much less about the actual hitting and the heart behind it. And so people get so far away from physical anything where they start abusing their children emotionally, they start abusing their children mentally, because the problem is not spanking. The problem is an anger and abusive problem. And this is a way that people can abuse their children emotionally and say, get out of my face. I don't want to see you. You go to your room. Okay. That's what God wanted. If Jesus was right here, he would say, psh, high five. I don't think so. See? Yeah. It's gonna hurt your children. It will. Yeah. Okay. Letter E. Punitive correction. 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 So this is the threat of punishment to control their children. It's really, we can just call this punishment. You're going to be punished. There are many forms of this parenting method. The punishment may be being hit or yelled at. And so that would be the abusive and the, what did we call it before? Under the parenting thing? Confrontational abusive. We yell and we hit. That's one punishment. The other punishment may be losing something the child desires. And this method is normally used when the parent feels they have lost control of their child. And so a lot of times what happens is we let the kids do whatever they want. They disobey, you know, it's okay. It's not going to affect me. It's not messing up what I'm doing here. So we'll just ignore that they disobeyed. Well, here's the problem with that. The reason it's a problem that they disobeyed is not that it's annoying, it's because God commands them to obey. So we need to deal with their disobedience, but we don't. We let it go on and on. And then it gets worse and worse, and the child will continue to test us and test us. Then they'll just do something that's too much. All right, I've had it. Time for punishment, right? This is kind of how it works. They feel like they've finally lost control. Yeah. And they attempt to keep their child under control through negative experience of punishment. And so, let me just say this, using the rod is a biblical practice. And we're going to talk about that. Even next week we'll get into that. Or no, not next week, but we'll get to it. but not when being used as an impulsive response to angry frustration. I'll just say this. If you're angry, it's not time to spank your children. It's not time to correct your children in any way. First of all, you need to deal with your anger and then approach your children. But the rod is good and biblical, but not whenever it's tied to impulsive anger. So that's one way people beat their children, basically, to get them to mind. And that's the way it works. You don't listen to me, boom, and then they'll finally listen because they don't want to get hit enough. That's not biblical, by the way. The other one is grounding. Grounding is maybe the most popular form today of this. The problem with grounding is that the heart problem that caused their behavior is not being addressed. You just say, all right, go to your room. But we don't have a discussion necessarily. Now, sometimes people do, but oftentimes it's just, here's what you need to know. Your behavior displeased me. Go to your room. And you're punished. Or you know it, because you did that, you can't have TV or you can't have this or that. And remember the goal is to glorify God. And remember the heart shepherd's behavior. And we need to go backwards and say, okay, why are they not obey me here? And address them and communicate. By the way, that's one of the biblical methods that we're going to talk about next week is communication. We need to communicate with our child, not just punish until they get it. There's a big part of this is communication and then the rod. But here in grounding, usually there's no communication. There's just go to your room. Or you can't have that. And here's what happens. The child just learns to cope with the grounding. But his character flaws are not addressed. And I remember this. I got grounded a lot as a kid. And eventually you just get used to it. I'll just go to my room. Okay. See you, Mom. I'll go to my room. And I'll go to my room and I'll draw a picture or whatever. First, I'll scream in my pillow. And then I'll just sit there. And you just learn to cope with being punished. There's a lot of children that are just okay with being punished. And then they're like, well, I don't know what works anymore. Well, it's because that doesn't really work. You have to address their problem. You have to address their problem before a holy God. Not just to address their behavior, you see. And that's basically what the punishment thing is. You did something wrong, you're being punished. You did something wrong, you're being punished. But never really addressing their heart, you see. Okay, the last one is this. Erratic eclecticism. E-R-R-A-T-I-C. Erratic eclecticism. What does that mean? Eclectic means you do a lot of different things. And so that's what this form of parenting is. The method is exactly what the name says. It's just a collection of many attempts at different parenting methods. And they say, this worked for a little while, so I did this. And then that stopped working. So now I'm going to try this one, and then that stopped working. And now I'll try this one, and that stopped working. And then your kid is just super confused because they don't even know what you want anymore, you see. Yeah. It's a collection of many attempts. Trying them for a short amount of time, making the parent inconsistent and leaving the child not knowing what is expected of them. And that's one of the other methods, okay? Okay, so those are the methods. Now let's evaluate them a little bit here. That's number two, is evaluating unbiblical methods. Letter A is, where do these unbiblical methods take us? We have to ask that. What kind of fruit do they bear? They all lead to the same place, which is superficial parenting, rather than this, shepherding the hearts of your children. That's why we started off with this. We need to back up from what they're doing, and we need to address what's happening in their heart. Why are they not obeying God? What is it in them that is not glorifying to God? And we need to address our children that way. They only address behavior, these methods we talked about, not the issue of the heart. Biblical discipline addresses behavior through addressing the heart. That's what we need to do. We need to be heart-centered, not just behavior-centered. Because the heart determines behavior. And so if you address the heart biblically, the behavior will be impacted. And so let's imagine, just for sake of helping this to be clear, dealing with the problem of a child's failure to do his homework. Okay, so your child is not doing their homework. And we've all been there probably, maybe not, but that's pretty common. And so here are some several common but unbiblical approaches used to change the child's behavior. It'll go something like this, the bribery approach. You do your work all week, and I'll take you to a ball game. Okay, so then they'll do it because now it's worth it. They'll do the work because they want to go to a ball game. By the way, not because they want to glorify God, not because mom and dad said, and that's what's glorifying to God, not because they want to learn to be consistent and learn to do things they don't want to do. No character is happening here. Just figure it out. Learn how to cope with what you don't like to do here enough so you can have what you want, which is go to the ballgame. That's the bribery approach. There's the emotional approach. Please do your work. I get so upset when you don't. It makes me feel like crying. I wonder where I went wrong as a parent, you know? I was like, oh man, now mom doesn't love me and she's so upset, and so I'll do it. Nothing about, again, glorifying God. Or something like this. I have invested an awful lot in your education and you're making me feel that I wasted my money. And again, the reason they're doing their homework is because they don't want to emotionally damage mom. That's just not okay. It's just not. Okay, next one, punitive approach. You didn't do your work, so no TV for a week. And if you fail again tomorrow, it'll be no TV for 2 weeks. And on and on and on and on it goes, right? Or this, behavioral modification approach. For every day you do your work, I'll put a slip of paper in a jar with your name on it. And then, you know, at the end, we'll draw your name. I don't know, this whole thing. Again, another way just to basically bribe our kids to do what they want and make it worth it. The I didn't turn out so bad approach. If you didn't do your work, Grandpa, if I didn't do my work, Grandpa used to smack me around. It didn't hurt me. I learned to do my work. And then they do, and then what do? They smack their kids around. Or perhaps when I didn't do my homework, he left me alone, and sooner or later, I learned my lesson. It's your problem, not mine. Right? I didn't do my work? Fine. Listen, I'm just not going to ask you about it anymore. And you're going to fail all your classes. All well for you, right? That's what my mom did with me, or my dad did with me, and I failed some classes, and then I figured it out. And so this is the way our world parents children. And by the way, you've probably saw yourself somewhere in there. And I've seen myself in there. And my kids are only 2 and under, but I've dealt with kids here at Junior Church and all that. And there's all of these are very common. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've at least thought about some of these. And probably 2 feet jumped in a lot of these. Yeah. So letter C, what have these approaches accomplished? And this is the main thing, right? This is, what's the goal here? What's being accomplished through these methods? To some level, they have each probably resulted in the child to do his work, right? And if we're fully honest, most of the time, that's our ultimate goal with our kids. Just do what I said. However it works. No matter how much ice cream I need to buy you, I'm going to get you to do what I say. And in the end, a lot of these will work, at least temporarily, and they'll do their work eventually. The question is, here's the main question. How can you get from any of these approaches to the gospel? The gospel is not a message about doing new things. It's not just change. Figure it out and change. That's not how the gospel works. Actually, this is a hang-up for a lot of people who know they need to be saved, but they don't get saved because I didn't think about it till now, a result of the way we parent. I don't know. But a lot of people know they need to be saved, and they don't get saved because they say, well, I need to clean my life up first. I need to get this right and this right and this right. I need to do all this stuff, and then God will accept me. That is not how God works, is it? God doesn't accept you because you behave. God loves you anyways. And God died for you, and that's why he came. Because you can't follow him, his laws all the time. That's why he died on the cross. Because you cannot do it. And he came to help you. He came to pay for your sin. And he came to give you hope to live the life God wants you to live. And your children will not be able to do it all the time. And here's the thing. I've already said this in previous lessons, but we ought not to be surprised when our kids sin and get upset and all of that. They're sinners. That's why they sin. And that's why God came. God came to help us. God came to save us from our sin and then to help us to live the life that he wants us to live. But we're not going to do it without him. We're not going to do it without the gospel. And no, someone is not saved by changing their behavior. They get saved, and then God helps them to change their behavior. You see? Yeah. And so the gospel is a message not about doing new things. It's a message about being a new creature. Here's the thing. We're all broken. Spiritually broken. We're born spiritually dead with the sin nature, and so are your children. And so it speaks to a people as broken, fallen sinners who are in need of a new heart. Not in need of new behavior, you see. We're in need of a new heart. And God has given his son to make us new creatures. Here's a good line. God does open heart surgery, not a facelift. He deals with the heart, not on the externals. You see? Now, our parenting needs to be that way. He produces change from the inside out. And he rejects the man who fasts twice a week and accepts the sinner who cries for mercy, because God is concerned about our heart being right with him, not just our externals being right with him. You see? And so many times our parenting is all about our externals and our kids outwardly obeying, but we don't ever hardly think about what's going on in their heart and if they're glorifying God from their heart. And this is what the gospel is all about. The above methods don't lead to the gospel. They train the heart away from Christ and the cross. Well, how so? Well, character development is ignored. And children are not being trained to make ethical choices as responsible people living in reverence for God. They are simply learning how to jump through hoops and avoid your displeasure, and really to avoid punishment. And they learn how, this is what most parenting methods do. They teach our children to self-survival. Do what you need to do to get what you want and to not get what you don't want. You see? And nothing about making choices because we need to glorify God with our lives. Yeah. Here's another devastating effect of these approaches is that they eventually produce distance. That's the blank. Between the parent and child. Children soon see through the manipulation. And they eventually come to resent the attempt to control their behavior. And as they get older and begin to imagine living independently of mom and dad, they become more resistant to manipulation and perhaps even openly rebellious. And here's what happens. When your kids are little, they just trust you. They just, okay, mom and dad, I'll do what you say, and I'll do all these things. And they don't think about the fact that you're just manipulating their their behavior so that you're happy. But then they'll become 10, 11, and they'll start understanding, okay. And that's whenever I'll go to my room. And they start to get it, that the reason they're being punished is because mom's not happy. Right? So I'm being punished because mom is not happy or dad is not happy, you see? And they start to make that connection. And then when they get 14, 15, 16, they start thinking, well, one day I don't need to worry about whether mom and dad are happy. I can do whatever I want instead of what my mom and dad want. And then they're 18 and they're gone. They're gone. And that's sad. But that's the way it works. Whenever we have these unbiblical motives, eventually... Listen, if we're not trying to glorify God, because here's the thing, glorifying God is something that lasts throughout their whole life. Obeying mom and dad only lasts till they're 18 or whenever they get kicked out. You know, as long as you're living under my roof, you'll obey. Okay, well, that's a good goal until they're 18. And then if you want to have any kind of influence over your children after that, it's hard to do whenever you just manipulated them for 18 years. But to glorify God is something that will last their whole life. And if they learn that God is real and they are accountable to him and they're created, listen, their whole purpose in living is to glorify God, well, that will transcend and last their whole life. Yeah. And you'll have a part of that their whole life. So this is the unbiblical method. So next week we'll look at a little bit more about what we're actually supposed to do. So number three, we'll be done soon. Conclusion. Remember, God is not only concerned with the what of parenting, he is concerned with the how. The Bible speaks to the issues of methodology. What do you mean? Well, he'll tell us what to do, and we're going to get into that. I'm going to spend a couple lessons on that. So what direction does the Bible give us for dealing with these issues? And so the next chapter addresses these questions. I'll just give it to you up front. Here's what God says for us to do as parents. Communicate in the rod. That's what God gives us. You can write that down if you want to. Here's the biblical methods. Communication and the rod. This is what the Bible gives us. And they go hand in hand. And we're going to start with communication because the rod is really, it could be more of a hurt than a help if we don't learn how to communicate first. But we need to communicate with our children. We need to learn to direct them and shepherd them as their parent and guide them in the ways of the Lord. As their parents, we're their spiritual leaders. We're not just their parents. God has entrusted them to us to lead them in the way that God would have them to go. That's our job. And we have to communicate. We have to talk to them. We have to deal with them about that. So we're going to learn about that next week. And then the rod is a tool in helping us to do what God has called us to do when it comes to leading our children. And so closing questions, we'll be done. Have you thoroughly thought through, say that fast 5 times, thoroughly thought through what you're doing as a parent? I mean, that's really step one of this, right? On these methods. Have you even thought about it, really? Or do you just kind of do what comes to your mind and hope it works, and that didn't work, let's try something else? Or have we actually thought about it? Like first about our goals. Okay, what do we want? And then how do we accomplish those goals for God? Have we thought through that? Have you submitted the things you say and do in your parenting to the Word of God? Or the alternative to that is to submit them to what the world says. Which of the unbiblical methods above have you seen yourself use? And can you think of any other common unbiblical approaches? Because that's not an exhaustive list, just a few that are very common. And then how would you defend this statement? Hey, this is actually a really important question that you're probably going to have to answer. The behavior of our children is not the problem. The root issue is their hearts. And as you parent your children, there's going to come times where people don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. Okay, they're not listening to you. Why don't you just deal with it and move on? Well, because it's not all about just what they do. It's about what's happening in their heart that's causing them to do what they do. And we need to deal with that. And so you need to get that in your heart and mind. And how can you defend that? It's not all about what they do. It's about what's going on in their heart. And so think through all of that. And next week we're going to really jump in and explain how, this is what we're going to talk about next week. How do we communicate with our children? How do we communicate? How does God want us to? And we'll get into that next week. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us all that we need to be the parents you want us to be. Help us to have faith in that. Help us to trust you. Help us to make you first. And Lord, for it all, really all starts with us making the goal for our life to glorify you. And God, there's no reason to expect that from our children until we've made that decision, that ultimately what we want to do in our lives is glorify you. And if we can do something and it doesn't glorify you, then we ought not do it. Help us, Lord, to have that be our heart, because you deserve it. Lord, you're a good God to us, and you created us, and you love us, and help us, Lord, to do that. But then help us to instill that in our children. Help our kids to see that their purpose is to glorify God. And God, I pray that you bless the rest of our day today as we get into our main service, that you'd bless and you'd be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Dismissed.